This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
That's right. For the Dan Grosser Show, live and in living color, you know where you're at, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, that is the telephone number. A full, uninterrupted vehicle, an FUV, as the kids like to call it. We take you right up until 9 o'clock, then it's Larry and Gordon. They will carry you the rest of the night here. We got my pals Joe and Chantel. They're producing the program. You got yourself a full Grasa Us coming your way at 8 o'clock. Plenty of your calls, and you can tweet away at me as well, at Dan Grasa, G-R-A-C-A. So how was your weekend? In all honesty, how the hell was your weekend? Because I got to figure, if you are a New York sports fan, I think you probably wasn't too shabby, if I may say so myself, right? Baseball teams won a couple of games here and there. You know, the Yankees, all of a sudden, they just can't stop scoring runs. See if it carries over now that they go to Baltimore, which is a nice measurement gauge for them as to where they are a month into the season. Mets avoided the three-game sweep at the hands of the Cardinals, and Mark Vientos made a big statement saying that he should stay up in the major leagues and not be sent down to AAA. We'll see if this continues, though, but a good win nonetheless. They're taking on the Cubbies over at City Field, and apparently wearing the City Connect uniforms again for the second time in 3 days. I got some thoughts on that one, strong thoughts, which we'll talk about later on in the program. Let's see what else. Well, we had the day three of the NFL draft on Saturday. Jets and Giants loading up with players here and there. Jets took a quarterback. Okay, very interesting selection in Jordan Travis of Florida State. So we'll break down all the draft stuff. Congrats to the New York Rangers, right? The Rangers take care of business. That's what they did, a little TCB. Not giving Washington any sort of false hope that they maybe are going to do something crazy like come back and win this series. Not going to happen, right? Instead, the Rangers, even though it wasn't a fully dominant performance, they did what they had to do. They won all four games. Their depth clearly outclassed that of Washington. And now they're moving on to round number two, and they did it as soon as possible. So now they put their feet up, they relax, and get ready from a challenge which, in all probability, is going to come from the Carolina Hurricanes, who need just one more win to take care of the Islanders. That could happen tomorrow night when the series resumes back down in Raleigh. Good job by the Isles, by the way, not getting swept on Saturday. And full disclosure, as soon as that game went to overtime, when Carolina tied it in the third period, I said that the Islanders aren't winning the game. It's over. It's done. Finished. So I was pleasantly surprised that they won the game. And now they get that extra day off in between. I don't know if that helps or hurts momentum in any way, but we'll see what happens coming up tomorrow when that series resumes. But then the main event of the weekend was yesterday, and it was early. You know, got to be honest with you. I'm not used to that type of routine. I mean, it's not football season. I'm not ready for a Sunday at 1 type of game, especially when football's over, albeit a huge playoff basketball game. After the Knicks suffer their first loss, how are they going to respond after Joel Embiid, for lack of a better term, punked them on Thursday night in that game down in Philadelphia? How would they be able to answer the call? You know that they're shorthanded. Mitchell Robinson's not going to be able to go. Then Bojan Bogdanović, 19 seconds into the second quarter, he's down for the count. Clean play. Hustle play. Him and Batum getting tangled up. And now Bogdanović, in case you're just joining us and in case you're just connecting with the sports world today, Bogdanović not playing tomorrow. Out. And who knows how long he's going to be out. But that's another body the Knicks are not going to have at their disposal. So think about that trade for a second with the Pistons, what they hoped that it would bring them. And I know I really shouldn't be spending a lot of time, like, harping on that one trade, but, I mean, this is the reality right now. Bogdanović, who knows when he's coming back, and Alec Burks is basically putting witness protection. So Knicks getting nothing from that one. Thank goodness they're getting a lot from most of the other moves that Leon Rose made. And if you're a Knicks fan, I don't know how long you've been. You know, that's something that you have to make peace with. You tell your local congressman. I don't know if you are going to find or experience a victory as thoroughly satisfying as that one was yesterday. Now, I get it. It's still only the first round. And you hope that there are going to be bigger goals that you're going to accomplish watching this basketball team in the not-too-distant future. But it's a round one game on the road, coming off of a loss. Hostile environment, so we thought. And the balance of the series could have easily swung in the other direction if the Knicks did not answer the call. So much talk happened with the 2 days in between games. You know, with Embiid's antics from Thursday night. How would the Knicks respond? Is it just going to be more of the same? Are they just going to take another punch and just roll on over and have no say about it and no answers at all? Nope. That's not what happened. And, you know, for a town and for a team and a franchise and a fan base that has sat here for how long? I don't got to tell you. And always talked about getting that guy. And you need a number one. They don't have a number one. They got a couple of nice players, you know, good players, good team, but they don't have that go-to guy, that number one. You know, the one that truly is going to pack the gym when you roll into town. That everybody has to stop what they're doing to watch him play ball. I don't know if your opinion of Jalen Brunson has changed at all this year. I don't. Like I said, that's for you to decide. But if Sunday was not the latest example that this guy is absolutely the goods, I don't know what more there is I can possibly sell you. Like, really. Putting a team on your back, going into a place that is not supposed to be easy to play, not getting a hell of a lot of contribution offensively from the guys on your team. And he goes out there and not only delivers a victory, but also puts his name in the record book for the franchise. 47-10 on the road in a playoff game? That's not supposed to happen. That's not easy. Times he makes it look easy, but it's not. 43 minutes doing everything that this team could possibly ask for him. And you know what? They needed each and every one of those points. Jalen scores 47 points yesterday, then the rest of the Knicks score 50. Think about that for a second. If I would have told you before the game started, Knicks are only going to play seven guys in this game. Seven guys in this game, Josh Hart not going to make a field goal in 46 minutes of action. Not going to make a field goal. Dante DiVincenzo not going to hit double figures again. What do you think the chances were that the Knicks were going to win this game? Probably not good. Probably not great. That's what makes this team a team that is easy to pull for and easy to get behind. OG Anunoby, you know what? We know what the record is with him in the lineup, right? But OG really hadn't gotten off to a great start this postseason. As a matter of fact, remember how we talked about so much about those inflated plus-minus numbers with OG Anunoby in the regular season when he came over? And it was like a ridiculous aggregate number. Well, first three games of this series, he was a minus player. Not used to seeing that next to OG's name in the box score. He might have played his best game as a New York Knick yesterday. At the most opportune time. And oh, by the way, forget about the 16-14. How about the fact that he was given up almost a half a foot and how many pounds to Joel Embiid and sat there and did all he could to help contribute to that win on the defensive end of the floor in the fourth quarter. Knicks don't win without him. I mentioned Josh Hart. And what was surprising about it is the fact that Josh Hart averaged 21 points a game in the first three games of this series. Like, he was actually becoming somebody on offense that you kind of looked upon and said, hey, you know what? That dude's got to give us some points. He's got to give us some buckets. Doesn't make a shot all game. Still goes out there, grabs 17 boards. And has the block of Nick Batum early in the fourth quarter, which is one of those plays that in the box score, it only shows up as one block. But think about it. Doesn't commit a foul. And Josh Hart had five fouls at that moment, too. Five fouls. And you know how the referees are calling this series? Think about for a second. If he gets called for a whistle there, for even the slightest bit of contact, he's gone. And there was still a lot of time left in the basketball game when that play was made. Not only does he go up and get the clean block, he's able to retain possession for the Knicks on the same play. That is one of those momentum shifters in a basketball game, especially in the fourth quarter, that you may not get out of there alive without. Even if you're not scoring, there's other ways to affect the basketball game. And this team has players lining up around the block that are able to deliver that. How about Precious Achiuwa? Precious Achiuwa, time in this series, basically is somebody you don't even know he's on the team. Hadn't had his number called consistently for a while. What does he do? He goes out there and plays the entire fourth quarter. Does the best job he possibly can, trying to contain Joel Embiid, grab 7 rebounds. Team effort. Everybody pitching in. How about Deuce McBride again? 13 off the bench. And on and on. And on. I mean, I mentioned DiVincenzo. Yeah, I know he had another off night, but you know what? He scored all 8 of his points in the third quarter, which kept the Knicks afloat, which kept them going. Isaiah Hartenstein giving his body up. 5 fouls all in the third quarter, but critical minutes to help wear down the guy at the end of the other end of the floor. Because make no mistake about it, if we're all watching the same game, and I even tweeted this out while it was happening, Joel Embiid looked gassed in the fourth quarter of that game. Gassed. Imagine being as big as he is. And I understand, look, you know what? I get it. He missed a lot of time this year. I know that the knee is not 100%, but you know, when you go out there and you pull the crap that he pulls out on the floor, I'm not going to sit here and have any sympathy for you. Here's the bottom line. He did not have a full tank. The Knicks took advantage of it. The Knicks contributed to that. And imagine being as big as he is and the advantage that you would have, you would think, down in the paint, where if you're not at least getting good looks, you're at least going to be able to get to the free throw line to help your team. And he's out there on the perimeter chucking jump shots. Chucking jump shots. Does not make a field goal in the fourth quarter. And how about this? In the series, because look, everybody micromanages and microanalyzes these games with a fine-tooth comb and boils down every sequence. It's what all the analytics people like to do. So I'll just help out a little bit. In the fourth quarter, in this series, Embiid is 3-for-18. That's not what an MVP is supposed to give you, last time I checked. 3-for-18? Yesterday, he made the same amount of field goals in the fourth quarter as I did. I wasn't in Philadelphia. I wasn't in the gym. So that's the most satisfying thing about it. You know, we talked about it on Saturday, right? What would the Knicks do? How would they respond? How should they go about it? We talked about, you know, 6 fouls for Jericho Sims, 6 fouls for Precious. You get out there and you try to fight fire with fire, eye for an eye. That's not the way to do it. Because as we said, if a Knick does something stupid in retaliation, then they're the ones that are going to get tagged, and then they're going to be missing another player where they're already shorthanded. Knicks didn't have to resort to that yesterday. You know what they did? They went out there. Jalen Brunson, your all-star, put himself in the record books again, and you walked into that building, and it sounded like Madison Square Garden South. That's what it sounded like. Add all that up. I don't know if you're ever able to experience a win under those circumstances, more satisfying if you're a fan of this basketball team. 800-919-3776. That is the phone number. This is one of those fun ones tonight, right? They're all fun, but this is one of those you couldn't wait to hit the start button and to turn the mic on with everything that's going on, especially on the heels of a game like that. These are treats. These are almost doing for free. That's how good they are. 800-919-3776. A lot on the Knicks tonight, as you would expect. We'll touch on the hockey, all the NFL draft recap for both the Giants and the Jets. We'll keep you up to date what's happening on with the baseball teams tonight and with the NBA playoffs as well. A fresh Grasa Us coming up at 8 o'clock, too. It is the Dan Grasa Show, an FUV on a Monday, 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Dan Grasa Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Full uninterrupted vehicle, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. That is the number. You know, a couple of other things, too, about this game before we get to the phone calls. You don't want to make a living out of this, but the fact that the Knicks go on the road, win a playoff game, shooting only 7 of 27 from 3, I think that speaks volumes as well, that you're still able to get out of there in one piece and really not have it going from downtown. I mean, think about it. Philadelphia made 9 threes in the third quarter of Game 3 alone, and the Knicks made 7 all game yesterday. I mean, this is like straight out of the 90s when you only make 7 threes, you know? It was like a far cry from what it is right now. So now you got the momentum back in your favor. You got a game in your building, which is going to be bananas tomorrow night. And, of course, our coverage will begin right here with yours truly at 6:30 tomorrow on 98.7 ESPN. Place is going to be bonkers. Clinching situation. Send Philadelphia packing. And look, the odds are extremely in the Knicks' favor that they're going to find a way to win one of these next three games. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But do I think that it's in the bag right now? Do I think that, you know, the Knicks are going to wrap this thing up tomorrow? I mean, it's not a given. Now, do I think they'll win the series? Yes. I said six at the beginning, so would I be absolutely stunned if Philadelphia finds a way to come into Madison Square Garden and win the game tomorrow and get it back to their building? No, I probably won't be. But here's the thing with the Sixers, and this is what I would ask, right? Who else is going to step up and help? Really? Because you know what you're going to get from Embiid. You know what you're going to get from Maxey. Who's going to be the third guy? Where's Tobias Harris? They're paying Tobias Harris so much money. And what you've seen from him in the playoffs is a far cry from the guy that you see in the regular season. The game that they won back on Thursday, I know it wasn't a lot, but a guy who really chipped in and made some big baskets for them was Cameron Payne off the bench. Pulling a couple of threes out of his you-know-what. You know, that's the type of contribution they need. And they really haven't gotten that consistently outside of Embiid and Maxey. So unless that happens, I don't think you got much to worry about. Now, look, the Knicks have to clean a lot of things up. That goes without saying. You know, as you advance and move forward through these playoffs, it's only going to get more difficult. And it looks as if, barring a miracle, you're going to be playing the Indiana Pacers in round two, which I think you would have signed up for at the beginning of the season. Because I know Milwaukee's going through a lot of stuff. And Doc Rivers in the playoffs is almost like a lottery ticket when you find up you're matched against them. But with no Lillard and no Giannis, they're a one-trick pony right now. Indiana's going to take advantage of it and send them packing here, whether it's in Game 5, Game 6, whatever. So right now we are steamrolling towards a Knicks-Pacers round 2, which, as I said, any Knicks fan would have signed up for at the beginning of the season. Any of them. And I'll tell you what, for those of you that were at the game yesterday, give yourselves a round of applause, for real. Like, I could not believe some of the stuff that I was seeing from that arena. Forget about how it sounded on television, especially at the end of that game. It sounded like Madison Square Garden. Like, if you weren't looking at the TV and a shot went up, all you had to do was hear the crowd reaction. And it was louder for Nick baskets, just as loud as it was for when a Philadelphia 76er scored. I mean, like, when a Nick put up a shot, and if you weren't following it through while you're watching it on the TV, you didn't know if he missed it or made it, because you're thinking, boy, it's pretty loud in there. He probably didn't make it, because after all, the game's in Philadelphia. Nope. Nope. And some of those videos that I was seeing on Twitter afterwards, I mean, I can't believe that stuff. Like, Philadelphia is supposed to be, like, a legit sports town. And the Knicks didn't even, like, win a championship yesterday. You know, they just won Game 4 of a series, first round, and you let an entire fan base come all the way down the turnpike and essentially take over your building, take over the perimeter outside your building when it was over. I mean, those guys that all huddled up in the lobby after the game was over and they had the chants going, I thought that there was going to be a war, you know, because you don't know. All you do is set one guy off and then you got to get security and you got to get the National Guard in there to break it up, right? That's what I was expecting to see. So give yourselves a round of applause, really, for creating a home away from home for this basketball team. And it's going to be 20 times that tomorrow night with a chance to move on to round number 2. All right, let's talk about it. 800-919-3776. Let us start it off with Murr in Queens up next on 98.7. Hello, Murr. How are you?
Grasha, thank you, my friend, for taking the call. I value guys' opinions. I don't call just to hear my voice. What you're saying is finally, as a Knicks fan, man, it's been decades. I'm 44 years old. I've been watching since I'm 10. Is the competitive rebuild and ownership in Philly. I got to say, I told Alan and Bart this afternoon, shout outs to Gangster of the Year, Leon Rose, and every guy on that team has put us, there's no such thing as pride, ego. Everyone's playing up. And I love the fact Achua kind of got it right with Embiid towards the end. The guy is dirty. I'm sick of it. I'm going to the game tomorrow, Rasa. However, I'm used to being humble. They have to finish them tomorrow. They have to. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Thank you for taking my call, man.
Mur, appreciate the phone call. Look, obviously in a perfect world you want to finish it off tomorrow, but do I think that it's make or break? No. Now, it's always dangerous. You don't want to give another team momentum. But the way Philadelphia is rolling right now, when it's essentially a two-man show, and Embiid, he's not 100%. Okay? And I know that he can put a 50 spot up like he did the other night, but he ain't 100%. He's wearing out late in these games. So unless he's resorting to all his cheap shot antics on the court, which he did yesterday too, you know, the forearm shove to Jalen Brunson's face, the one stepping on Josh Hart's leg underneath the basket, which he could have avoided. You know, he got one foot on the ground, and then as he was taking the second foot again because Josh Hart's leg was on the ground, he stepped right on his leg on the shin, which when you put close to 300 pounds and 7 feet on a guy's leg, he could have broken it. But that one kind of just went by the wayside as well. You know, that's what he's got to do because he realizes he doesn't have all his tools in the tool belt right now. You know, he is a diminished player because the knee is not 100%. But you know what the best way to get back at him is? Like I said, win the series. And the Knicks are doing a great job of that. And they're one win away from doing so. Dave in the car up next here on 98.7. David, how are you? Hello, Dave. Dave, going once. Dave, are you there? All right, Dave, we're going to move on from Dave. I know it was entertaining, like me, like channeling Dave or trying to channel Dave, but I was getting bored with it, to be honest with you. Hopefully he calls back. Let's say hi to Javier in Queens. He's up next here on 98.7. Hello, Javier. How are you?
Dan, gracias for taking the call. Feeling amazing right now. Amazing.
How can you not?
Can I ask you a question?
Seriously, how can you not feel amazing?
I have a serious question. Mm-hmm. Any chance Philly comes back, the Philly fan comes back tomorrow and they take over the Garden? Any chance?
No. No.
No way. This reminds me of when they hung up K signs at Shea Stadium for El Duque during the World Series. They took that city's heart. I don't want to hear about what a great sports town Philly is. What they let happen there, people should have been arrested. It was terrible. I predicted before the series started that the Knicks would win in five. Still feel very, very good about that. I don't really want to start talking about any next teams. They still have a game to win. But, you know, feeling great. I think what we've been saying all along is you want to see improvement. This is improvement. You want to see them get to a game seven next series or you know, be able to take that next step. But I'm so happy with the team. And the other thing going on tonight that gets lost, huge Yankees series against Baltimore. Wow, you know, like who would have thought this early they'd be having a big series? I didn't believe in this rotation, so I'm excited to actually see these games.
It is a big series. Javier, it's a big series. You're right about that, and thanks for the phone call. And Gunnar Henderson has already touched up Clark Schmidt, so it's 1-0 Baltimore. Hit a long one out of Camden Yards, but still very early in the baseball game. We'll see, but it is a good gauge for the Yankees, right? I mean, Baltimore, to me, still is the team to beat in that division, and so it's a good little measuring stick. Remember, you got less games now against teams in your division as opposed to it was a couple of years ago with this new balanced Fugazi, Rob Manfred created schedule. So whatever that is. Let's say hi to Christopher in the UPS truck. Chris, what can Brown do for you? How the hell are you?
No, orange and blue. We don't care about the Brown right now.
You know what? I'm not going to send that one to the manager, Chris. We'll keep that between us.
No, what I wanted to say was I listened to you a lot before the game. Today, just now, off of you talking about Cameron Payne, was literally the reason why we lost game three. It was not Embiid's 50-point game. It was that little burst of the little BS minutes that he had, and he just went crazy. The only thing that I want to say is that this Knicks team, even without Randall, is a problem. Let's be real, Philly is more talented. But this team has way more heart. And there's nobody that's a bum on the team. Everybody adjusts. If they don't have a good game, they transfer and do what they got to do. Hart had a bad game. He grabbed every board that they was able to get. That Batum block was crazy. My voice is still messed up from game one. We're about to be in game five. Let's go, Knicks. We're gonna go to the Eastern Conference Finals. And you know what? I like my chances. I'm not gonna stay here and say we're gonna lose. I mean, we're gonna win clean. But you know what? We're the best team, and don't let us get to the chip because they thought we acted crazy off game one. They thought Philly was bad. We win the chip. There won't be a Madison Square Garden
Chris,
no more because we can't lose again.
Chris, one at a time, my man. I thank you for the phone call. One at a time. You know, don't talk about the conference finals. Don't talk about Indiana, Milwaukee, whatever. Work on getting the fourth against Philadelphia because it's not going to be easy. And Chris said something, by the way, just kind of sneaked it in there. I don't know if I agree with it. When he said Philadelphia is the more talented team, are they? Because if they are, where the hell are they? Outside of Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, where are these guys who were so more super talented? Where are they? Is it Nick Batum who pulled those six threes out of his rear end in the play-in game against Miami? Where's he been since? Getting his shot blocked at the rim by Josh Hart last night in the fourth quarter? That's the only thing I've seen in Nick Batum. Didn't make a shot. Where's he been? I thought Kelly Oubre had a chance yesterday to maybe help grab control of that game. He didn't play poorly, but he didn't lock down what he had to do on the other end of the floor either, and he's supposed to be the guy that's supposed to give Brunson fits. You know, Tobias Harris, not the guy that we're used to seeing in the regular season. I don't know if I'm going to sit here and say that the Sixers are a more talented team than the Knicks top to bottom. That's why you play seven of these games. Max. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. We're coming right back, and I want to talk a little bit more about Brunson in particular. And it seems like we've spent all year talking about him and what he's done for this team. But one thing in particular as it relates to this city that I want to get into next. Dan Grosser Show, we roll till 9, full, uninterrupted vehicle, 98.7 ESPN.
You're so cool.
Rolling along on a Monday. Grasso Show, 98.7 ESPN. We're taking it right up until 9 o'clock. It is an FUV on 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. The telephone number talking. Knicks, they are one win away from the second round. They can wipe away the 76ers coming up tomorrow at MSG. Our coverage begins at 6:30 right here on 98.7. So no show tomorrow night because the Knicks are going to be the show. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Not only, and I don't even know if Joe knows this, not only is it a full uninterrupted vehicle on Wednesday, it is an FUV plus then some. How about that?
Oh, that's right.
That's
because
right.
Because of the NBA playoffs.
That, see, there you go. One of them West Coast games. Maybe it's Mavericks Clippers on Wednesday. So that's what we're going to be carrying. So we are going to go an extra 30 to lead you right into that coverage. So Wednesday night, we get a full three on the docket, and who knows? Maybe we're talking about the Knicks in the second round. Maybe we're talking about a game six back in Philly. Who the heck knows? But nevertheless, we'll be with you for a bonus full uninterrupted vehicle coming up on Wednesday here on 98.7. Before we get back to the calls, though, I said I wanted to talk about Brunson. And you know, look, I've exhausted, I think, my limitations this year, waxing poetic about him and singing his praises. I think we all have to a certain degree. But I was thinking about this, and I give my buddy Peter Boddy from The Post credit, who covers the Knicks, one of the greats, dear friend. He tweeted this out yesterday, sometime after the game, and it got me thinking. Jalen Brunson, right now, on April 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2024, he is probably the number one sports figure in New York City sports. Is he not? Who are you pushing him aside for? Really? Let's think about it. Nobody from the hockey teams. I'm sorry. Okay, not yet. Nobody from the hockey teams. Nobody on the Nets. The football teams? Okay, I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers is here, but, you know, he played four snaps. He really hasn't done it yet in a New York Jet uniform. Giants? Who are we talking about? Right? Baseball. Anybody on the Mets? Yankees, you're going to say Aaron Judge. And I think more often than not, people would probably say Aaron Judge. And I'm not throwing this into, you know, the start that Aaron Judge has gotten off to this year, which we all know could be a little bit better. But what this guy has done, right, in a sport that more so than baseball is really predicated on the performance of one singular individual, I think speaks volumes more so than anybody else you're going to throw into the conversation. Remember, the best player in baseball, best two players in baseball for the last how many years were teammates, and their team won nothing with Trout and Ohtani. This guy has played at an MVP level. It doesn't matter if he's a finalist or not, but what he has done to lift the team, which, by the way, he didn't play with the other all-star on this roster for half the season and now into the playoffs. He didn't play with two other starters, including somebody that they acquired at midseason to help them at this stage of the game. And now they're playing shorthanded again. And yet this guy goes out there and has record-setting performances. So right now, today, as you and I are interacting with one another, I don't know if you can sit here and say that there is anybody not named Jalen Brunson who is the number one sports figure in this city. Juan Soto hasn't done it long enough. He's only been here for, what, 20 games? Let's at least get Juan Soto into one postseason run yet for the Yankees. It's Jalen Brunson, period. And he can only add to his legend with what this team does over the next 6 weeks. Because let's face it, he's probably going to have to do most of it by himself. And, you know, I made this comparison earlier today, too. Like, you think about this Knicks team. There is a little bit of that 90s quotient, I think, that resembles this club. I really and truly believe that. And here's what I mean. We know that they like to get after it on the defensive end. They're a physical group. They're a tough group. Not a dirty group. Not a cheap shot group. But they'll make you work for everything. They're a lunch pail group, just like that 90s team was. Even though you had a guy wearing Armani suits on the sidelines and Pat Riley. Right? They were a rough and tumble group. And that really speaks to the greatness, too. People, you know, talk about coaching. You know, think about Riley. Riley was a Hall of Fame coach already with the Showtime Lakers, the greatest show in the NBA. Up and down the floor, Showtime, Magic, Kareem, Worthy, flying all over the court. He comes over the Knicks. He realizes, you know what? I don't have a Magic. I don't have a Kareem. I don't have a Worthy. I don't have a Byron Scott, a Michael Cooper, AC, all these guys. I don't have that. So I have to work with what I have and try to win games that way. He essentially reinvents himself as a head coach and says, we are going to punish anybody who walks into the gym because that's the way we have to win games. And Ewing was the Batman on that team. He was the superstar. He was the all-NBA great. It just so happens that this Knicks team, Jalen Brunson is that guy. I know you're talking about a point guard versus a center, but Ewing never had a consistent number two throughout his career. He had guys who played the role for, like, small stretches, but John Starks wasn't on that level long enough. Charles Oakley wasn't considered that type of guy. And now when you take Julius Randle out of the lineup for the Knicks, that's how this club is operating. Jalen Brunson, the all-NBA guy, without a consistent Robin to his Batman. But you know what? This team is going to go out there and they are going to work. And they embody the coach. You know? They embody their head coach. And don't think for a second he doesn't deserve a hell of a lot of credit for the way this team has played. You know, like I said, the Josh Hart yesterday doesn't make a shot. And yet he goes out there, grabs 17 rebounds, gives you 5 assists, and makes arguably one of the biggest plays of the game with that block of Batum in the fourth quarter. The little things all adding up to winning basketball games in the playoffs. And it goes without saying that the city has completely, completely gotten behind them. 800-919-3776. Let's try our guy Dave in the car again. He has refound his cell signal. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm good, buddy. Thanks. Sorry about that earlier.
What's up, Dave?
I'm very glad that you brought that out about Jalen Brunson, because I'm willing to make this point, and I don't think I got it across well earlier today on a different show. The Knicks have great cap space. He's a phenomenal player. He basically is coming at a bargain. Right now, more than ever, I think there's pressure on the Knicks. And I'm talking about forward thinking now. The Knicks front office should pay whatever they have to pay in order to crystallize a game plan to get another big to come to New York. They have to do it. They have the player now. They have the core players who are playing with heart and grit. But the only challenge they have is selling New York. And it's going to be a hard sell, because there's a guy in Minnesota and a guy in San Antonio, both very young, very athletic, very hungry to basically put their stamp on the NBA, much like Jalen Brunson.
But Dave, here's the thing. You really think New York is a tough sell now after everything this team has done the last couple of years?
Yes, let me tell you why. If we start going over the last 10, even 20 years, there have been a lot of opportunities for players to come play in New York.
But that's not now, though, Dave. The culture has changed. The culture's changed. This is an it team again. It's an it place. It's an it franchise.
I understand that. I guess I'm going to be biased here. Just bear with me. I feel whether New York's in a good place or a bad place, I feel that the Knicks front office, I feel that Dolan and his crew, I feel like you should be able to sell it no matter what the condition is here, to at least bring in one star, not once every 20, 30 years. They can do a better job. And now Brunson's going to help that effort, but it really has to be up to them to bring someone here and sell them on the system that's in place. That's all I'm saying. I know it's a hot place now. Whether it's hot or cold, though, they need to be able to sell this product, because this is the product of the planet right now when it comes to basketball. It is the Mecca, and I hope they can get it done.
Dave, I don't think you're worrying about selling, and I thank you for the phone call. And look, Dave kind of threw me for a curveball there, because I thought he was going someplace else with it. And when you're talking about Brunson, and then you went on about, you know, him at a bargain rate, what I thought that you were talking about, and forget about cap space and all this other things, you know, it's a great story now, but you think Jalen Brunson's naive? In a league where you have guys who are more overpaid in comparison to what the results they actually give you on the court, you have a guy here who's underpaid based upon the performance that he's given you since he put on a Knick uniform. Point being, this summer, Jalen Brunson is eligible for an extension. Okay? Are the Knicks going to do right by him? Are they going to give him more money? Because if there's anybody that deserves a raise, it's Jalen Brunson. The Knicks don't have a franchise without Jalen Brunson. How do you think they would have even finished the season when Julius Randle went down on January 27th, and OG Anunoby not that far after, and Mitchell Robinson missing 4 months? Are the Knicks even a playoff team if Jalen Brunson's not on this squad? And by the way, I'll break it down for you, the economics. If Brunson signs an extension this summer, he can max it out 4 years, $156 million, 39 average. If he waits until next year, he can max out at a five-year deal, $258 million. So that's an extra $102 million, and he averages $51 million in change a year. But if he signs this summer, it makes him eligible for another max extension sooner down the line. Remember, you're not talking about somebody, exactly. You're not talking about somebody who's, you know, 35 years old. He's still a young player entering his prime. And knock on wood, he stays healthy. He has a lot of productive years ahead of him as a basketball player. So maybe he looks at it and says, you know what? I'll sign the max now, because 4 years after that, I'm going to rip it up and get a new one and make boatloads of money. Brunson's not the guy you worry about. Here's the one you worry about. And maybe this is a conversation, you know, once the season is long over with and the dust is settled and everything, what do you do with Julius Randle? That's the question. That is the question. Because Julius is eligible for an extension this summer as well. And who knows if he's even played his last game in a Knick uniform coming off of this injury. And you want to talk about shaking it up? and bringing in a superstar and all these other things. Well, what do you think you're going to give up to get that player, whoever it is? And sometimes, again, it's nice to say in theory, we want this guy, we want that guy. But you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And who knows if you part ways with a guy like Julius Randle, what it does to the chemistry in that locker room, the culture, the squad itself. That's tough to replicate. Sometimes the grass ain't always greener. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Dan Grosser Show. It's a Monday, 98.7 ESPN.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Easily, the most anticipated sporting event of the year is the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Imani Toomer. It's Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, paddles come out for the pickleball showdown for the ages. Be there on May 5th to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Who do you got in that one, Joe?
I was discussing this on Saturday. I think the slight edge right now has to go to Anita and Imani, but I'm not counting out Dave and Rick just because Dave is insane. Honestly, this might be a
Yeah, he might be insane, but it doesn't mean that he's good.
No, but if Rick and Dave lose, that might be the end of the show. How do they recover from that from a chemistry standpoint if they lose to Anita and Imani?
There's going to be finger pointing is what you're saying.
Absolutely. You might have to be a full-time fill-in for whoever is more to blame if they lose.
I could see Dave being a big excuse guy. I can.
So can I.
Like, he'll easily blame everything under the sun except himself. He'll point the finger and not the thumb. Like I said, I was talking to him one day last week. He was headed to one of the places to practice. Didn't he say he was practicing against some guy who was like 300 pounds or something like that? Some obese human being?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, that's not what you're playing on Sunday. You know? Imani, Anita, they're in good shape. They're athletic. So if you practice against subpar competition and then all of a sudden you step out there and you might as well be standing on center court Wimbledon, you got to know what you're up against on the other side of the net.
I went into a moment where I lost my, you name it, I lost it.
Okay, and what did you say to him?
Can you move your fat ass up to the net, please?
And you don't think that that's going to happen on Sunday?
No, it definitely will.
And see, Rick is going to get to a point because, like, his, you know, competitive spirit is going to take over. And he did it at the highest of levels, of course, talking about professional sports, like Imani. And he's going to want to almost just take over, like at the first sign of trouble, right? Because the thing about it, when Rick played hockey as a goalie, you can only do so much as what the guys in front of you were doing. You know, you could be under siege if they're not doing their part, and then it's just like a firing squad of pucks at you, which I'm sure he experienced plenty of times. He played on some horrible Islander teams there for a while. But in this situation, it's 2-on-2. So if he sees that his teammate is not pulling his weight, he has no choice but to try to take over the game.
Is there a possibility Rick just says enough of this, I'm going to go 2-on-1?
Well, like I said, yeah, he might think that in his mind and just play that way. Like, he may pull like a Kelly Leak in the Bad News Bears and go out there and like catch everything. And in this case, with pickleball, like, hit everything. He'll, like, track down every ball that comes over the net and almost tell Dave, effectively, stay away. I got this. Remember, it's not that much ground to cover. It's a pickleball court. It's not a real tennis court. So that might be a scenario. Now, I don't hope that happens. I don't want it to be one-sided and, you know, not a competitive match. But, I mean, that's reality. That could surface. Now, is there going to be anybody doing, like, play-by-play or anything like that? They can
I'm
be videoed?
Sure somebody. I'm sure. Oh, there will definitely be video. The company will be there. There will definitely be uber amounts of videos from a plethora of angles. But we might have to have somebody do play-by-play of this. Who's a bit? Is pickleball like a play-by-play sport?
Well, I mean, it's no different than tennis.
You're right about that, I guess.
I mean, you know, what you do, you know, if it's, at least if it's a visual component. You sit there and you're quiet during the point, and then you just react after the point, which is, I think, how they're going to have to do it.
What's I'm blanking on the guy who does tennis for ESPN.
Chris Fowler.
Yeah, what's he doing on Sunday?
Can we get Patrick McEnroe.
Can we book both those guys? Are they in some offshoot?
PMAC texted me yesterday. You know what? I'll shoot him a text and be like, if you're not doing any, it's short notice. It's Sunday. Probably would have given a little bit more heads up. I'm sure he would have done it. But I don't think the people here even think about tennis in those regards, even though it's like part of the ESPN family. They just don't, put two and two together.
Can't get the tennis channel here. So.
Well, that's different, though. But tennis channel's not ESPN. That's something different. You know, ESPN, we have tennis. We own the U.S. Open. Every live aspect of our national Grand Slam in the sport is on ESPN. No other channel shows a live ball being hit at the U.S. Open except ESPN and ESPN Plus. So that's something that they should have tapped into, the resources that we have available. It's a bad job. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. We'll get into some NFL draft stuff, too, when we return, in addition to all the Knicks stuff, plus a fresh process coming up at 8 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let us say hi to Johnny in North Bergen, who is up next here on 98.7. John, how are you?
Hi, Dan. Thank you again, company. Thanks for taking my phone call, man.
Johnny, what's the word?
Love listening to you. Nothing much, man. Just listening to you and just to catch up. Like, we spoke on Saturday, and remember I said, like, we need to pop them in the mouth and take the win, and it was amazing. I loved it. Dan, I haven't cheered that loud since I think Allen Houston made the shot in 1999. But it was just a statement win. You know, like I've said it before, like, we're not punks over here in Jersey, New York, you know, like, when JB stood up to Embiid and got in his face, I still say we should still pop him in the mouth. We still have to, like, knock him. We still got to pop him in the mouth and, you know, like, just go off that way. But
Johnny, you're one win away from popping him in the mouth. The proverbial popping him in the mouth, one win away from doing it. You ready? Think about what you did yesterday. You went into their place, took a game away from them. You held their MVP tough guy cheap shot artist scoreless in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And then your fans danced all over the dead body, essentially, after the game was over. Think about that. They went to the graveyard and had a parade right on the coffin. What more do you need to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dan. Absolutely. I agree 100%. But still, you know, like, you still got to sneak in like that. You still got to hit him. Like, you still got to pop him. Like, I want to hit him in the mouth.
And Johnny, good talking to you, my man. Thanks for the phone call. They were putting Knicks jerseys, and not that I'm advocating vandalism, and I wouldn't call this vandalism. They were putting Knicks jerseys on the Wilt Chamberlain statues outside the arena. How about that? Now, if you wanted to put one, well, you may not even be going back to Philadelphia for Game 6, but in the event that there is a Game 6 back in Philadelphia, if you want to put a jersey on the Allen Iverson statue, you have to go to Kids R Us or Babies R Us and buy one of those baby Knicks ones, because do you see the size of the Allen Iverson statue? Like, I had bigger participation trophies when I was in Cub Scouts.
That's not right.
Than what they did for Allen Iverson. Although, all kidding aside, it makes for a funny ha-ha. The context behind it is that was at the Sixers practice facility, and I guess they have several statues, or if you want to even call them statues, of, you know, Sixers great players of the past all outside the practice facility, and those are the ones that are tiny. They're all the same size. They're all tiny in stature.
Why do the AI statue? Why not go to the Nick Foles statue? It's right next door.
Well, they did Will Chamberlain. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, they don't have an AI one outside the arena yet, I don't think. The AI one was at the practice facility. The one that was tiny, that was like, you know, 2'3".
That's what I'm saying. Why drive to somewhere in Pennsylvania, nearby Pennsylvania? Just go right across the street and put a Brunson jersey on the Nick Foles statue.
They may.
That would hurt more.
You got one more game. We'll see. And maybe you don't have to. We'll see. Let's say hi to Sammy in San Antonio, who's up next. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well, my brother. I hope all is well with you and the rest of the crew behind the glass. They're always a pleasure to speak with. Thank you for taking the call. Before I get into I just want to say I'm not a Knicks fan by any means.
Yep.
But I did call about the Knicks. But before I mention that, that entire scenario that you should be a writer of scripts, because that scenario that you just painted with Rothenberg and the whole pickleball thing, you throw some Benny Hill music in the background, and I think we got a perfect sitcom comedy right there.
100%. 100%.
That's how I was picturing it. Now, just as a non-Knicks fan, but just a fan of the NBA, this ownership group has been in charge for, 4 or 5 years now at this point, Dan?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, right, I think. I don't know the exact.
They took a team that was competing against the Jets and the Mets for laughing stock of all of sports in the country to a team that's now the number two seed, and they have, seven first-round picks over the next 4 or 5 years and a lot of money. My whole point to all of this is I would actually this year target LeBron and Giannis, bring them over. I stay away from KD with a 100-foot pole, and I'm not touching Embiid. Those are the two guys that I go after, because to me, LeBron is just a 2-year commitment. He's towards the tail end of his career, so I think he's at that point kind of like where Dwayne Wade was, where he wouldn't mind taking the backseat and adding to Brunson's leadership skill, teaching him his ropes. And then you still got Giannis, who's still relatively young, to have that nucleus that they already built. My whole point is stay away from KD. I just don't think he's worth it.
No,
that's what I would do.
You know what, Sammy?
Sam,
I'll tell you what. Thank you for the call as always, my man. Here's the thing. I put LeBron in the same category as KD. You didn't want the Knicks once. You didn't want the Knicks twice. Now you want to jump on the bandwagon when things are good? Don't need you. Don't need you. And by the way, did you see that rumor that's going around the worldwide internet today, apparently, that tonight, if the Lakers lose, is LeBron's last game as a Laker? That he's moving on? Okay. Like, I'm done with the whole LeBron theatrics. Where's he going? Where's he playing? Like, I'm fine with it now. Like, I really have no interest. Like, if you think I'm going to be sitting here on July 1st debating and sitting here doing, 3-hour shows about where LeBron James is going to call home next, like we did back in, 2010, and then in, whatever year it was when he went back to Cleveland, like, I really could care less. The dude's 40 years old. He's not winning a championship anymore as the guy for the rest of his NBA career. And you know what? Knicks have made it this far. I'm surprised by this, because Knicks fans, now Sam's not a Knicks fan, but I would think that the true Knicks fan would feel the same way that I do. Why would you want guys like that at this point, right? It's like the girl didn't want to give you her number or give you the time of day back when you were some loser and you had nothing going on for you. Then you show up 20 years later at the high school reunion and you're a millionaire. You drive in with the fancy car. You got all the zits cleared up off your face. And now she wants to talk to you. Now she wants to be at your side. And you say, no, I'm good. That's the Knicks fan right now. And the girl is LeBron. And the girl is KD. I'm good. Mervin Winfield up next here on 98.7. Merv, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, man? Like, all this stuff you're hitting on is so perfect. And it's been since the 90s, I think, that I've been this excited about this team. And then you got Rosenberg and other people still disrespecting this team. And I think that's fueling them, though, also, like, giving them more power to keep
this
on
team plays with a chip. They do. I think this team plays with a chip on their shoulder. And you know what? I think it comes from the coach, too. Don't think the coach isn't feeding them that stuff.
Yeah. And look at Jalen Brunson. Like, well, he was, top 3 scorer in the league this year. And when Randle was healthy, I think they were number 2 scoring duo in the league. And I just love the no respect. And Embiid is a player. He's the new Reggie Miller of the 90s, like somebody that I despise right now. And I hope we knock him out instead of punching him in the mouth. Like that guy said before, we knock him out tomorrow night.
Good chance of it happening, Murf. Thanks a lot for the phone call. The bottom line is it is a team that the fan base gravitates to. They're an easy group to root for. You know why? Because I think at the beginning, and when I say beginning, I'm going to go all the way back to last year, to when Brunson arrived. You know, it was a team that, I don't want to call it the little engine that could, but it was a team that I think exceeded expectations. Nobody expected them to play that well. And then you were talking about a club that won a round in the playoffs. Missed Julius Randle, wasn't 100%. They go into Miami, or they have home court advantage in round two against the Miami Heat, come up short. And then this year, more adversity, more the same, injuries, yet no drop-off whatsoever from Jalen Brunson. Instead, his game even goes to another level, where you're talking about an all-NBA performer. Now you got at least some of those guys back, and this is still a team that, if things break the right way over the next couple of weeks, you could be talking about a club in the conference finals. And remember, way back at the beginning of the year, that was like the ceiling for this team, even if they were healthy, right? Even if they were healthy. And if this broke one way, if this team lost, if they didn't have to play that team, maybe you can make it to the conference finals. Guess what? They're five wins away. And you don't have an all-star and an all-NBA performer along for the ride. That's what this team is doing right now. And he got the entire city behind them. Let me say hi to Jose in Brooklyn, who is up next here on 98.7. Jose, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Dan. Shout out to the company and hello to Joe and Chantel. And wanted to definitely, you know, catch up with you. We didn't get to speak on the weekend, but wanted to catch up with you on the NFL draft, but I do agree with you on the Nick premise where it's been totally fever pitch and we're almost pretty much one game away from giving the best punch in the mouth, which is sending an MVP candidate that only really got the MVP award because of Jokic fatigue and people just didn't want to give him the MVP because, oh my God, God forbid we give him three straight MVPs because then that somehow diminishes Larry Bird's accomplishment and all that.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They did the same thing with Michael Jordan back in the day. You know, could have given Jordan the MVP every year.
Oh, yeah, same thing, you know, with LeBron and there's so many other cases. But I wanted to catch up with you on the New York draft, on the New York Jets draft, because I was very impressed with what the Jets did. They didn't listen to the hype. They didn't listen to the national media and saying that they needed to draft a once-in-a-lifetime generational tight end talent, where I was just like, okay, we need to calm it down there. He's definitely very talented, but I don't think he's the right fit, especially where our tight ends are required to run block. And so I wanted to, you know, and also I like the wide receiver that they picked up. I like the offensive line, and I love the fact that they did, you know, it's not a pick that's, you know, high investment with the quarterback, but they did actually, you know, did have a presence of a mind in the future like you wanted, which was to draft a possible talented quarterback that could be a diamond in the rough that would still sit behind Rodgers while Rodgers is running the ship. So this is, I got to say, this was a great draft. The only concern I would say was the back to, you know, after drafting a running back, they went back to getting a running back. I would have preferred to see if they got a linebacker, but if that was the best player on the board, I guess I have to trust them because they are supposed to be smarter than me at this point, right?
Yeah, Jose, you know what it was with the running back? And I think a lot of people maybe scratched their head a little bit on that one, and thanks for the phone call. Look, I was a little curious, and so I checked in with a couple of guys over there, you know, that I know that were in on the decision-making. And look, there's a special teams element to it, number one. Remember, this team lost Justin Hardy to free agency. He signed with the Cleveland Browns, and he was a Pro Bowl 2 years ago. He was a Pro Bowl special teams player for them. So that is a big factor as well. But they like both of these running backs. Talking about Isaiah Davis, the kid from South Dakota State, comes from a small school. Look, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I've, you know, seen him play. But they like both of them a lot, both physical downhill runners, also could play on third down, guys who can also play special teams. And they also wanted to create a little bit of competition behind Breece Hall, you know, and I think it puts Izzy Abanaconda on notice. Not to say that they don't like Izzy, a kid that they just drafted last year, but, you're not just going to hand this guy the backup running back job. You know, you're going to make people come and earn it. And who knows, maybe it's going to be one of these two rookies. And I don't know if you guys saw the clips or any or videos or anything, but the kid they took from Wisconsin, the running back Braylon Allen, I mean, if he missed or if he's missed one day in the weight room in his life, I'm probably exaggerating. That dude is a, if I call him a brick house, it's not doing it justice. That is not somebody I want running at me if I'm a defensive player. That is when you take a business decision if you're a defensive player. You know the expression, you get off the tracks when the train is coming? That's this guy. And I think the reason that he maybe fell to where they got, he was what, a fourth round pick? Yeah, he was a fourth round pick, Braylon Allen. Because the Jets traded down about 17 times in the fourth round. Joe was trying to make trades even when the draft was over. He was calling to see if he could trade down again. They said, no, Joe, no more. And probably with Braylon Allen, they think maybe the vision, you know, he's just a straight-ahead downhill runner, and that's maybe why he kind of fell to the fourth round. But you know what? It's not a bad thing. You know? Not a bad thing at all. Churning out tough yards. Wear out of defense. There's a role for those dudes, even in today's NFL. So we'll see what happens. You know, it was a little odd to take the two running backs there. Yeah, a little bit. But and also Jordan Travis. You know, this is the proverbial redshirt year for Jordan Travis. Had that horrific injury at the end of the season for Florida State. And let's face it, that's the reason why Florida State was left out of the college football playoff. Because the committee felt, well, if you're not going to have your star quarterback, why do we want to watch this team on the big stage, even though they ran the table? But Travis is athletic. He's going to learn from Aaron Rodgers, from Tyrod Taylor. And look, I don't know if he's going to be the Jets quarterback of the future. Have no idea, but he's a talented player when healthy. And we'll see that they can develop from. The arm needs a little bit of work. That's what I was told before, even before the draft. Just checking in on a couple of prospects. They said Jordan Travis, very athletic, so-so arm. That's from talent evaluator. So we'll see what happens. 800-919-3776. More of your draft calls. Get into the Giant draft, too. I thought they really had some interesting selections as well for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and company. And we got a fresh Grasses coming up at 8 o'clock, 98.7 ESPN.
Celebrate.
I thought the Giants made out pretty well, too, as far as checking boxes, addressing some needs. Again, I'm not going to sit here and grade drafts. We're not doing that. I actually did find something and stumbled upon something which was even more ludicrous than the post-draft grades that come out like the day it's all over with. And that is the mock draft for 2025 already. I mean, how and why are we doing this? Like, I guarantee you, if you go back and you look at 2024 mock drafts that were first put out a year ago after the 2023 draft, how many of the names that were in that were even close to, like, first-round picks? Because every single year, there are guys that shoot up the draft board and appear on people's radars that nobody even knows that they are alive until sometime in December of the college football season. And sometimes you can really hit the jackpot if you have the season of your life during a pandemic and come out of nowhere and play against third-rate competition, and maybe, just maybe, you play your cards right, you'll be the number two overall pick in the draft. Set for life. Not mentioning any names, right, Joe?
I mean, I'm with you on this.
It's over. Move on. We move on. Let it go, right? Just we're moving on. We're moving on. It's all good. It's all good. No, but the Giants, in all seriousness, Giants, I thought, did some good things. I was all on team wide receiver from the get-go. I did not want to reach for a quarterback. I thought Neighbors was the way to go. The Giants have not had a game breaker at the wide receiver position in eons, since they were wearing leather helmets practically. That's how long it's been, okay? And with those picks that they had in the first couple of rounds, what else did I also say throughout the whole pre-draft process? Joe Shane needs to get at least two starters with those first couple of picks, and he got those. Neighbors is going to start day one, and Newbin, the safety, is going to start day one. I mean, the way people are carrying on about Newbin's intangibles, I mean, they're making this guy out to be like the second coming of Ed Reed. And you know what? If you're a Giant fan, you hope he is. But that's a day one starter. I thought the Theo Johnson pick is intriguing, the tight end they got from Penn State. It wasn't a very deep tight end draft, so the fact that they got that value in the fourth round I think is pretty good. Giants also have a need at that position. Tracy, the kid from Purdue, is a playmaker that you could even split him out at wide receiver if need be. And they like that linebacker they got in the sixth round, too, out of UCLA. I don't know much about him, but they think he could actually develop into like an every-down player for you. So, hey, they had six picks to work with. All accounts, they made out pretty well. But biggest thing, you got to applaud the restraint that the Giants showed by not reaching for one of these quarterbacks. And I'm not sitting here telling you Daniel Jones is indeed the long-term answer. Okay, in all probability, this is going to be his last year as the quarterback of this football team. And then they're going to have to go get somebody else. But you know what? You cross that bridge when you come to it. You mean to tell me you really think that a guy like Kirk Cousins is going to spend the next 5 years wearing an Atlanta Falcons uniform after the team just used the eighth pick in the draft on a quarterback? I mean, the Falcons can sit there and scream until they're blue in the face about they want, you know, in a perfect world, Penix to sit for 5 years, and then they hand the reins over to him from Cousins. Stop. Stop. I mean, what world are we living in? You know how many quarterbacks we've been told that have been drafted in the first round, first, second, third pick, that, oh, they're going to sit this year. Only two games into their rookie season, they go in for the starter who gets benched. Stop. Point being is that Kirk Cousins will be playing someplace else within the next couple of years. Hell, it might even be the Jets. You know, I heard they have a 40-year-old quarterback who's not going to play forever. Although Cousins turned them down once, I don't even know why they'd look in that direction again. I wouldn't. I'd respectfully pass. Let us say hi to Tommy in New Hyde Park up next on 98.7. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Tommy, what is going on, my friend? You doing all right?
I'm doing fine. I know you're short on time.
Hey, don't worry about the time. I'll run the time. You do what you got to do. You get out what you got to say, okay?
Thank you.
Time is on your side, as the Rolling Stones once said.
Yeah, I love that. No, I love those songs.
It was actually my side, but it's your side in this case. Go ahead.
The New York Mets, Alvarez, the catcher. How long are you out for? Nobody's telling us nothing about it.
They said 6 to 8 weeks after the surgery. So if everything goes according to plan, and he's a young dude, hopefully the bones will heal fast. Or it's a ligament, actually, but hopefully they'll heal fast. He could be back before July. So before the All-Star break, he could be back.
Ah, that's a long time, so wow.
I mean, hey, Tom, you know what? I hate to break it to you, buddy, but guess what? It's May in 48 hours. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, but you're talking July. That's so, you know, June and into July.
Yeah, but don't rush it. Don't worry. They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I don't know so, but it's not season ending. We know that. Remember, baseball is a marathon. You could sleepwalk the first half of the season and still find your way in the World Series in baseball.
Well, Dan, I always appreciate you taking my phone call. What do you think about the Jets draft?
I don't think it was bad. You know, I think they got a lot of needs. I have no problem taking the offensive lineman in the first round.
Me too.
They were never going to take Brock Bowers. That was a smokescreen. They were never in on him. To try to see if they could entice some other teams to come up. I know a couple of other teams called. They just didn't want to jump back that far and do a trade with them. But look, I got no problems with it. Now let's see what happens when the games start for real, you know?
And we'll see. What do you think about the running back they picked up?
Well, they took two running backs. You know, they took two running backs. We just talked about them. They're going to get opportunities. Because one thing we know about the NFL with the running backs, it is a running back by committee league. And they're going to try to keep these guys as fresh as possible. I think the guy people are most excited about with the Jets is the wide receiver, Malachi Corley. You know, to add him to the mix with the other guys they have, and oh, by the way, a Hall of Fame quarterback, they're excited about him. That he could step in, play the role, the Yak King, and really do some damage. He presents a little bit of a unique skill set to what Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams bring to the field. And then you throw this guy in there. Nice arsenal for Aaron Rodgers to have at his disposal. Hey, when we come back, it is a fresh edition of Grasa Us. We go till 9, 98.7 ESPN.